Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. I'm Will Brinson. Ryan Wilson joining me. We're going to talk some football. Ryan, it's tax day. Are you excited?
Mate, no, it's not.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, good lord. Yeah, they actually moved it to the 18th, if I recall correctly.
Because Saturday's the 15th. Today's the 14th. Hopefully you're reading this on the way to the beach or some other Easter weekend. Do you do vacation on Easter weekend? Probably not, right? You're a heathen, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up in North Carolina like you did, of course. And our thing on Easter, your mom used to be a preacher. Our thing on Easter was to get on your Sunday outfit and go to church and then come home and have to wear that silly outfit all day while you like have lunch with your family and stuff. Early dinner and all that nonsense. We never did vacations, though.
Well, we're not really vacationing. We're going down to see my mother, my in-laws in Wilmington. And we'll do a little boating.
On the ocean or on one of the sounds? What are you doing?
The sound, yeah. We'll hang out on Riceville, maybe hit up the beach, cruise around on Pop's boat, little cocktail cruise.
I will say, a lot of lakes in New York where we live, and my brother-in-law has a boat, and there's nothing nicer than going out on the boat and having a few adult beverages.
It really is. It's I tell you what, man, I went down to the nice thing about you're on the boat, you're not really checking your phone, not looking at your computer. You sort of check out from work and stuff, and that's enjoyable, right? I feel like in 2017, that's a little underrated because I went down to Humble Brag, Augusta.
You did. That's right.
Yeah, my buddy Drew and I went down for practice rounds. We're down there Monday.
Do you have any other friends besides Drew? Because I met Drew at the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Fair question.
I don't know why he hangs out with you, I'll be quite honest with you, but it seems like every time you go somewhere, he's the only person there with you.
Well, we were best friends from growing up. So we try to, and he lives in Dallas with his wife and his kid, and he's expecting another one in like 20 days. His wife is actually like 8 months.
Specific.
Well, it's like May 5th. But his wife gave him the ticket. That's the only reason he got to go. Otherwise, she would have been like, "You're not going to Augusta when I'm 8 months pregnant."
Yeah.
We grew up together, and so best friends growing up, and so we hang out when we can. You know, when sometimes.
So you were there Monday and Tuesday. Is that right?
Monday, Tuesday, we got there. I picked him up in High Point, which nice. Was at his parents' house. Got to see
home with Tubby Smith.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. And we drove down to Augusta, got down there about noon, and we pull into the parking lot. I was down there the year before. It was Drew's first experience in Augusta, and immediately they said the course is closed. And
so I was going to say Monday was like a terrible weather day.
Yeah, it got rained out. So we went and watched Carolina win the national title.
How'd that feel?
Not great. So
say this as a huge Tar Heels homer. Yeah. That was I couldn't watch. I mean, I watched it, but it was
horrible.
Officiating was brutal.
Yeah. Well, last year, my friend Nathan and I do have two friends. My friend Nathan and I were down in Augusta, and we watched the Villanova Carolina game at this bar called Whiskey.
You love that, I bet.
Yeah. People were like, "What are you guys, Nova fans?" We're like, "No, we're NC State fans." We're like,
"Yeah, okay, this is all we got.
This is pathetic." Like, yeah, leave us alone, pal. And so I tried to convince Drew to go back to Whiskey to recreate the scene, but he wanted to bolt at halftime.
Blew up in his face.
Blew up in my face.
Drew's didn't go to State.
Drew's a Carolina fan.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, blew up in my face. I was trying to sucker the Carolina fan into going back to the spot.
Better.
Yeah. But anyway, we went out there Tuesday, and the point of it is that it is pretty cool to be able to – I mean, it's annoying from one standpoint because you're worried something might be happening with your family or your job or, you know, your fantasy team or whatever. But it's kind of cool
to check out.
To check out and not worry about your phone from like 8 to 3. And I got to do that, and it was very enjoyable.
No, I think you're right because I sent you a bunch of texts and I didn't get any responses.
That's right. And usually I'm pretty good about texting back when we're talking, saying nice things about our colleagues and stuff like that.
Speaking of checking out, I had to. I don't have a choice in terms of getting tweets from Ben Roethlisberger because he blocked me on Twitter.
Yeah, but he's coming back. There's actually some sad Steelers news too. Dan Rooney, longtime owner and president of the Steelers, passed away. Ben Roethlisberger's coming back, and Ryan Shazier said they're going to dedicate the season to Dan Rooney too. Do you? It seemed like, and I think I had seen Dan Rooney walking around at maybe either the combine or the owner's meeting recently. Maybe his last, he wasn't there at this most recent one. Maybe it was the last one. And he just didn't look like, I mean, he's 87, right? I mean,
he's 84. He was the ambassador to Ireland.
Yeah. Lived an incredible life.
Yeah, his dad was the who originally started the Steelers back in the 30s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Dan was the chairman. His son Art Rooney II is the president, and you know, it was a huge loss. And one of the people that I we've spoken to before the Super Bowl, and who I'd spoken to previously, who was probably one of the people most affected by Dan Rooney, that's a very long list, is Ike Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, Ike Taylor absolutely adored that man. He said all throughout his career and even afterwards, he would spend a lot of time talking to Rooney just about life, not even about football-related things. And there are a lot of stories like that from Mike Tomlin, who's been there since 07, which sounds incredible, all the way down to the last man on the roster. So, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a sad day in the NFL for sure. The Rooney rule is not his only legacy, but it's probably the legacy that people think of first. But there are so many things that he's sort of done for the NFL to make it what it is. And I think that look no further than the outpouring of respect for a person who spent his life in football from literally the moment it was announced that he passed away. Twitter was just sort of lit up. And generally when Twitter lights up, it's for the wrong reasons. But
yeah, that's exactly right.
Just tells you, you know, sort of the type of man he was and the contributions he made. So
yeah, no, there it is. It's sad day for the NFL. And you're right. It's like, It takes somebody who was legitimately a good person and did good things throughout his life for Twitter to be nice. Like, everyone on, like nobody's making, like, I mean, Twitter is pretty screwed up and people make jokes even when someone passes away. But it didn't happen. People were showing love for Rooney. I thought Rick Goslin of the Dallas Morning News, or used to be the Dallas Morning News, sorry, now at the Talk of Fame Network, works there with Clark Judge and Ron Borges. And he wrote a piece just breaking down how when he started in the business as a newspaper guy, Dan Rooney would, you know, call him up frequently. They'd talk. You know, Dan Rooney wanted to expand the Hall of Fame to include a contributors thing, and he was very he wasn't just cashing checks. You know, he wasn't just cashing checks for you know, revenue. I mean, he made plenty of money, no doubt, but I mean, he actually cared about the game and, you know, freaking ambassador to Ireland. I mean, he cared about, you know, cared about more than just making turning a profit.
I think that's one of the takeaways, is that NFL owners by almost definition are wealthy, but money didn't appear to be the driving force in his life. And I think the way people are reacting to his death sort of shows that. And maybe there's a lesson there for other people to learn who are eager to make more money than they need.
Yeah. No, I mean, sometimes it'd be Sometimes it'd be smarter to do good things rather than worry about making money.
All right, so what else we got here? As you start off on a super positive note,
I didn't know which way to go with that. Sorry, Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, he didn't die suddenly. He lived a great life. You know, celebrate life. That's what I always say.
No, that's right.
Marshawn Lynch could be back in the NFL. Going to be back, apparently. If the Raiders can work out a deal with Marshawn Lynch, the Seahawks are willing to trade him, Jason Lockenfour reports, but they got to have a renegotiated contract between Oakland and Lynch first. He doesn't actually have to unretire, apparently. Like, he doesn't have to send the league a letter. He can just show up if he changes teams and it gets traded, which is okay, sure, why not? That seems like a weird rule to have, but they're going to roll with that. Do you think he actually makes an impact on the Raiders?
Let me start by asking this. Can you name the running backs currently on the Raiders roster?
I can. Jalen Richard.
He's listed third at... that's okay. That's
DeAndre Washington.
Now you're cheating.
I'm reading an article about someone leaving a job to take another job.
Oh, interesting. And who's the other one? He's the only one I know. Tywan Jones.
Oh yeah, Tywan Jones. Yeah. I knew. I mean.
So those are the three guys on the roster. So it makes sense that they probably need some help at running back. I get that. Why it would be a 31-year-old who spent the last 12 months chugging Skittles? That sort of confuses me. Like, why is there such an urgency to sign Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, I think the urgency is related to the team leaving to go to Las Vegas.
What? What does that have to do with anything?
Because they're hosing the fan base, and the Oakland fans love Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch loves the Raiders. He's the biggest guy. He's like one of the favorite sons for Oakland. So you sign Marshawn Lynch. It's just a little distraction, you know.
Why don't they sign Kyle Bowler? He went to Cal.
I mean, I guess the thing is, if you sign Marshawn, your season ticket holders who are big Oakland fans, big Raiders fans, a little more interested in the team. And I think he makes – I would rather trade for Marshawn Lynch than pay Adrian Peterson what Adrian Peterson wants.
How about draft someone in the fourth round and pay him $300,000 a year?
You know, I said that they should draft – and we'll get to these running backs in the draft in a minute. Actually, we can just kind of parlay this into it. I said that they should draft Christian McCaffrey in the first round. This Raiders fan wrote me this, like, thousand-word email explaining why that wasn't necessary and how they don't need a running back. I was like, well, I mean, he's like propping up Tywan Jones. This is how I know the names. He's propping up Tywan Jones, DeAndre Washington, and Jalen Richard. I think that if you bring in Marshawn, you still got to get help. Like, there's no guarantee he's going to make it through the season.
Right. No, that's the big issue. And I imagine he's not coming back for the veteran minimum, which is right around $1 million. So if he's going to go through all this time and effort to play football again.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If you're the Raiders, do you think about drafting a running back early? How early is too early to draft a running back?
Oh, I mean.
Not in the first round, right?
Yeah, I would not in the first round. They picked near towards the bottom. So, I mean, if Leonard Fournette is there, my last mock draft, I had Leonard Fournette falling out of the first round. That didn't make people happy.
I accidentally had O.J. Howard falling out of the first round, so that's okay.
Yeah, I don't think. Do you have any other tight ends going before him?
Yes.
Yeah. You never know, though. That's the thing. Like, we get in this group mindset doing these silly mock drafts for 6 weeks, and then a few picks don't pan out. And you don't.
I mean, O.J. Howard's probably going to have to smoke some weed on television to get to fall out of the first round. But
didn't work for Tunsil. He still got to be first
round. Right. But, I mean, you're 100% right. Like, everybody's like, well, I mean, clearly this guy is going to be a top 10 back. I mean, like, top 10 pick. I'm not using a top 10 pick on Leonard Fournette.
No. And, he had that 28-inch vertical. Maybe people don't care about that. Maybe people do. But it's not uncommon for running backs that we thought were going to be top 15 picks to fall out of the first round for various reasons. Fournette, I mean, we talked about this last time. Fournette to Carolina, you don't think it makes a lot of sense, or at least will happen. They need a running back. But I tend to agree with that. I don't think he'll fall out of the first round. But if he happens to be there at the bottom of the first round, sure, that would be a great pickup for the Raiders. McCaffrey, here's what people – I think I had McCaffrey going in the middle of the first round, my last mock draft, maybe to the Eagles. People said, well, he's not a three down back. But, I mean,
he's not. He's a four down back.
I was going to say, he's sort of like Antonio Brown in that you can leave him on the field for every one of the downs you need him to be on there.
The Jordan Rodrigue, who is, I think that's how you pronounce her last name, she replaced Jonathan Jones at the Charlotte Observer. She's actually got, in her latest mock, she has the Panthers taking McCaffrey at 8.
There's been some mention of that. One of my buddies from high school who lives in Charlotte now actually emailed me yesterday to make fun of me because I don't know who had the Panthers taken last time, but he said
I'll tell you in a second.
Yeah, he likes McCaffrey. He wouldn't be surprised if McCaffrey goes there, and for the reasons that we're sort of talking about. That's awfully high to take anybody, any running back, McCaffrey,
you
Fournette.
The Panthers taking John Ross, wide receiver. I think that's actually a viable move that no one's talking about.
Thank you.
Well, I
couldn't remember it.
I mean, he's just a better Ted Ginn, you know.
Well, like, God help him if he was worse than Ted Ginn.
Well, I mean, Ted Ginn has some redeeming qualities. His hands are not one of them.
Right. And we don't know about John Ross. He's had two ACL surgeries. He's got shoulder issues. Who knows how durable he is? He ran really fast. That's what we know.
All right. So your latest mock, which came out on the 7th, you're due for a new one.
Yeah, I got one coming up next Wednesday.
Miles Garrett 1, Solomon Thomas 2, Marshawn Lattimore 3. Jonathan Allen 4, Jamal Adams 5, that works. Malik Hooker 6, sure. Ryan Ramczyk 7, what? John Ross, Corey Davis. I could see somebody reaching for a lineman in this draft.
Yeah, and the Chargers, I mean, if the plan last mock draft, I had them taking Deshaun Watson to replace Phillip Rivers. But if the plan is to have Phillip Rivers play 3 or 4 more years or whatever, how about protect that guy? I mean, that's not a terrible idea.
No, not at all. Your first quarterback off the board, Deshaun Watson. Do you think he'll be the first quarterback off the board?
You know what? I sort of do, and here's why.
I wrote it 2 weeks ago, but did you see my article about the quarterbacks falling and the economics of it? Did you read that?
Of course I did not. Oh. But it makes sense because
– you know what article I'm talking about, right?
What's that?
You really didn't read it? Jerk.
No.
That's okay.
I wanted to, but I got –
it was like 1,300 words. I don't care.
But it's funny you mentioned the quarterback thing because even a few days ago, long after my mock draft had been out with Watson going as the first quarterback, our buddy Andy Benoit for the MondayMorningQuarterback.com, wrote about how Watson is easily the most NFL-ready quarterback of the bunch. And people like to point to what was the game that he lost, that he played poorly at the end of the game. Wasn't State.
No, he should have lost to State.
that's how every conversation gets.
It was whatever the Virginia Tech or who's Virginia Pittsburgh.
Oh, it was Pitt. It was the Pitt game. Yeah, that's right. It was Pitt.
That's the only game they lost.
And Benoit goes into that, but he goes into all the other games where he played extremely well late in the game, and sort of you have that information on him. You don't have that information on guys like Trubisky, who only played a year. And we went to that last podcast. And so he likes Watson a lot. I think Watson could be the first guy off the board. Bruce Arians apparently loves Kizer. He thinks Kaiser's more NFL ready than anyone else.
Wait, did he say it was Kizer?
No, he didn't. But one of the beat reporters sort of insinuated that
interesting.
He thinks it's Kizer. And he had the same, in that same conversation, Arians said that he was troubled by the fact that Trubisky had only played a year, which a lot of guys are. That's no.
Yeah, we talked about that, right? Like Marquise Williams just. It didn't beat him out. I mean, like, I don't think that. Like, I was thinking about this recently, and I need to research it. But I don't. I swear, I don't even think there was a competition. Like, I don't think it was Trubisky versus Marquise Williams. I think it was just Marquise Williams is starting, and
that's it.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. All right, so I'm looking back at this. This is from July 20th, 2014. And it's UNC's Williams thriving on the competition, .. if it's really a competition at all. Williams won't be because he was handed the job. All right, so he came into fall neck and neck with Mitch Trubisky. I don't buy that. I feel like it was a competition in name only.
Well, who's your first quarterback off the board then?
I think Trubisky's going to go top 10.
Where?
I think that the Browns will either trade up for him.
Well, let's talk about the Browns real quick because
we got to. It's the
Wilson
and Brinson Brown show.
Depending on who you ask, because Mike Freeman the other day tweeted from Bleacher Report that Hugh wants to take a quarterback, but Sashi Brown and the other front office types don't. And then Tony Pauline, who covers the draft extensively, he used to do it for SI.com this time of year, I'm not sure where now, said that Hugh Jackson wants someone that's not a quarterback and the front office wants a quarterback. So I suppose that the truth lies somewhere.
Smoke screens.
Yeah, so what's
right, well, let's talk about what Adam Schefter reported recently, which is that the Browns – and you're talking about this basically, but that the Browns are not sure what they want to do at one. I don't believe that. Like I believe that they are concerned. Okay, actually I take it back. I do believe it. I don't believe that there's anything other than Myles Garrett going at one. Because at the end of the day, he's too highly rated a prospect. He has too much upside and you can't pass on him for a non-sure thing at quarterback, which is what this is to me. Maybe we probably talked about this last week, but it's Jadeveon Clowney and Blake Bortles.
Yeah, we talked about that and I made the even the older Matt Ryan versus
Jake Long.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. And none of these guys are as highly rated as Matt Ryan either. And I think even then when Matt Ryan came out, the quarterback position was not, I mean, it was still really valued, but it wasn't quite the way it is now. You know, we were like 3 or 4 years away from people peeing on themselves and taking Christian Ponder with first rounds. You know what I mean? Like I think that the Browns are, they're taking Myles Garrett at one. What they're doing now is your typical 2 week run up to the draft. Let's get some chatter about somebody else. Let's make some noise about that number one pick. Maybe we'll float. Maybe we'll see if we'll get a big offer for the top pick. You're not
hey,
getting it.
Eagles did it last year.
Yeah, but that last year was different because I think
I mean the Browns let the Eagles. They
fair.
Did it with the Eagles and got some draft picks and then took 12 wide receivers.
Yeah, and I think that what the Browns would love to do is find a way to get Mitchell Trubisky. But they know that they can't get him at 12. I don't think he's going to last at 12. That's his floor. It's 12. But I think the Bills will take him at 10. The Jets will take him at 6. I don't think the Chargers will take him at 7. But I think San Diego or Carolina, depending on how the chips sort of fall, would be interested in trading back a couple of those. I think San Diego or Carolina would be very interested in trading back to 12 if the Browns, if Trubisky got past the Jets. And I think the Titans would be interested in trading back from 5 if Trubisky is there at 5. And I think the Browns would consider doing that.
And you have Trubisky going first, obviously, as the first quarterback off the board.
Yeah, I think he's the first quarterback off the board. I think his floor is high enough that it's worth taking him first, and his ceiling is the highest of any of these guys. Maybe Mahomes is the highest ceiling, but I don't know. I mean, I get that people love Mahomes, and he's got a big arm, and he's a gunslinger, but something about him. He's got to sit for he needs to go somewhere like San Diego or Arizona.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus that he
– Or New Orleans would be fine.
It's rough around the edges. All right, so I'm sure we'll come back to the Browns because they always do, but we mentioned running back options. I started with Fournette, then we sort of got sidetracked. Dalvin Cook, McCaffrey, you talked about, then it's Kamara, Mixon.
By the way, just before we talk about options, I think it's worth pointing out that you have options for dinner. You know, you don't have to order takeout every time, Ryan. You don't have
what,
to.
What could I do?
You could go to Blue Apron or blueapron.com/roughing, and you get 3 free meals on us, the Roughing the Passer podcast. And our friends at Blue Apron, they've got fantastic, like, it really did change. I don't want to say Blue Apron changed my life, but it actually did because my wife was not a great cook. Excuse me. She wasn't a great cook before we started doing Blue Apron, and now she's a fantastic cook. She's adding
interesting.
She adds creme fraiche to everything.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just bust out creme fraiche for no reason. And so
that's a Gordon Ramsay move, by the way.
Yeah. And I like that. That with Blue Apron, you get these different sort of meals that I otherwise wouldn't have tried. I wouldn't try. Like they do stuff like they'll throw sweet potatoes on pizza sometimes, and that's the sort of thing I like. This upcoming meals, I got spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salata. Like, you're not making ricotta salata without Blue Apron. You don't know how to do that. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. My goodness, I'm hungry right now. And they do all kind of paninis. Their bread is the best bread on the planet. Go to blueapron.com/roughing. Get 3 free meals with free shipping. That's blueapron.com/roughing. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, running back options. Leonard Fournette is going top 10, right?
I don't know.
Whether you want to use the pick on a top 10 pick on him or not, he's going to go top 10, I think.
Well, here's the thing. There have been conversations / smokescreen / obfuscation or whatever, but McCaffrey seems to be ascending draft boards based on what we're hearing from people who talk to people. So, again, who knows what that means. Would you take McCaffrey over Fournette?
I would. I would take McCaffrey over Fournette.
All right, well, you're part of the problem, I guess. So, I mean, there's a very real possibility, it seems like, that Dalvin Cook falls out of the first round, and not necessarily because of who he is as a player.
I think it's off-field stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Dalvin Cook better than Fournette as a running back.
He's more versatile. I think he fits somewhere like Tampa. I think he would be a good fit.
I don't think he'll get past Tampa.
So in terms of guys a little further down the list, we're talking about the Raiders and guys they could take as opposed to having to go through the Marshawn thing. And Marshawn, I mean, look, Marshawn has no off-field issues, really. It's just that the whole media frenzy that's going to follow him to Oakland, if he's not playing every week, is he in shape? And I don't know if they need that headache. But there seems to me there are plenty of options. I don't think Joe Mixon would probably be the answer to one of those options given his off-field history. But he's – people think he might go in the second round at this point, but guys after him.
Buddy, or Bucky Brooks at NFL.com had him in the first round in a mock last week to the Packers. That is, I don't see, there's no way you can take Joe Mixon in the first round.
He also, in a previous mock draft, had DeShone Kizer going to Pittsburgh. So,
what do you think about that?
Look, I'm not going to.
Big Ben almost retired this offseason.
I'm not going to slight the guy for putting crazy picks in his mock draft. That's sort of where we're at this point, but it seems.
That's my move, pal.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't buy that Pittsburgh would take Kizer, but I mean, you never know. I mean, if they like the guy, if you're Pittsburgh and there's a quarterback that you really like there in the first round, I don't have a problem with you taking him because I don't think Big Ben's playing in 4 years.
No, he's not. But you're going to keep a guy on the roster for 4 years just so his contract comes up before you know whether he can play or not.
Well, you get 2 years to develop him, and then you kind of figure it out. And
they need pass rushers, unless this guy can pass rush. Also, do you think
they need pass rushers or secondary guys?
Pass rushers first.
You wanted a cornerback last week.
No, I wanted Derek Rivers, the Youngstown State.
Oh, yeah.
Out of nowhere. Carl Lawson.
Can he go first round?
It sounds like now he might fall out of the first round based, again, on only the mock drafts that I read. But Carl Lawson's
mock drafts,
like
mock drafts are worthless.
They really are. It says the two guys who are part of the problem. But there was a report from Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network. I think, yeah, no, she said this. She said that they are, quote unquote, in love with Jabril Peppers, which sort of concerns me. The guy has, you know how many career interceptions he has?
One.
One, and it's off a tip pass.
Really? He only has one career interception? That's a flag.
So he's sort of, no one knows where he plays. Is he a linebacker? Is he safety? You know, they got Mike Mitchell. They don't need another guy like that.
Yeah, but he kind of fits in that. I mean, you can kind of use him as a Deion. I don't know if he's as hard hitting as like a Deion Buchanan, though. You know, like he's.
That's right. I mean, you need a pass rusher. You don't need. They do need help in the secondary, and there are a lot of guys that should. I mean, that's a deep draft for both secondary and pass rushers. So I suppose they could flip flop.
I feel like somebody with Jabril Peppers, it's going to be a team like
the Patriots.
No. It should be a team like the Patriots. Instead, it'll be a team like the Dolphins. It's like, we can use this versatile weapon, and then they do use
sort of like the Panthers did that a few years ago with who's the guy they took?
Shaq Thompson, but he's actually been good.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's he panned out?
No, he's been good. They just have depth at linebacker.
Okay. But he was a first or second round pick?
He was a first round pick. People melted down when they did. Why are you taking a linebacker? We got linebackers. How could you take a linebacker? He second year, had one interception last year, five passes defended, two fumble recoveries, a touchdown.
All right.
One sack in 2 years. I mean, he's been, I think he'll continue to develop. It's hard for him to really break out when you got Thomas Davis there.
Yeah, who's been around, who won't go away. I mean, despite
but
the
that's
knee
a good
injuries.
It's a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I could just see somebody drafting Jabril Peppers and using him wrong. I don't know why that just feels like something that could happen. The running backs, Mixon, I think, is a second rounder. I would probably want to take him in the third if I was a team for PR reasons. I think he would be off my board in the first two rounds. Would you take him in the second? One.
I don't think I would take him at all. I think I would take him off the draft board altogether. And he may be a changed person, but I think that, you know, if you're in the business of making money or trying to expand your outreach to the people who enjoy your product, and there's been a large push about getting more women to enjoy football, this seems like an easy decision to make. But, you know, people say he's a great player and that, you know, he can change an offense and this and that, but I don't know if it's worth the PR hit you're going to take or the, you know, given the history of what he's done.
Yeah. And I think the difference too is like Tyreek Hill overcame it just fine, but he did that because there's no video.
Oh God. That's right. The video is the other thing.
If you get like, let's say you're drafted by Dallas, Dallas is a bad example because they got a running back, but I mean, let's say the Packers draft him. You're telling me that local news isn't going to bust out that video a couple hundred times over the.
Even if he gets pulled over for speeding, for going 36 and 25, that's
jaywalking. Jaywalking down Lambeau. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just
jaywalking near the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, he's like on a motorized scooter, like driving too fast or something like that.
Brett Favre Way. I think Brett Favre has a street named after him.
I'm sure that he has a street named after him. I think our friend and editor R.J. Bell actually did a. He said, it's like these editors complain that I do too many trades.
By the way, RJ Bell is a
RJ RJ White. Sorry, yeah, I'm having a day. He did a 3-round mock with 15 trades in it.
Holy,
he's got Joe Mixon going 53rd overall to the Detroit Lions. That's about right.
Yeah, that actually makes. I hesitated because like, I could see that.
53rd overall. You're using a fit. You're like, hey, you know, look, we did our due diligence on this guy. We think he has really learned a lesson. We understand that he is, sorry for what he did. We think that we are going to make sure that he is an integral part of this community, not just this team, but this community, and that he continues to redeem himself for what he knows were poor choices and poor actions. I mean, that's what you say. You draft him at 53, and everybody's fine with it.
Don't forget, 2.5 years ago, the hoops that the Vikings were jumping through to make it known that they were not going to do anything to Adrian Peterson until those photographs came out. Before that, everyone's like, oh, yeah, he'll sit out a game, and then, but he, we're not going to cut him. We're not going to do this and that. And then as soon as those images came out, everything changed, which is, you know, not a great way to do business, but that's the world we live in. So I don't know. It'll be a tough sell, but someone will draft him, and then it'll be on him to sort of stay out of trouble and be a good football player.
Somebody's going to take him in the second round, but I would not take him until the third round. I think there's some, I mean, there's some other interesting running backs too on this. You know, look, again, McCaffrey, I think, is a first rounder. Alvin Kamara from Tennessee, probably a second rounder, right? I don't care for Samaje Perine. No, didn't run fast enough. Tariq Cohen. Tariq Cohen's interesting to me because this is a guy who played at North Carolina A&T. He's like a nice bowling ball. Has, I think he has like 375 carries in college, which is way too many. It's like 900 carries, sorry. But like Jay Ajayi, when he was coming out, people were like, well, he won't last long. Well, you don't need him to last long. Draft him and let him play one contract. And then let him walk in free
agency. That's the whole point. Exactly.
Yeah. TJ Logan, speedster out of Carolina. There are a lot of Carolina running backs in this. Matt Days, good pass catcher, good pass protector from NC State. I'm not huge on Wayne Gallman out of Clemson. Let's see who else.
But the point is that there are people that you can take that would save you all the sort of ancillary headaches that come with signing someone like Marshawn Lynch. And again, I'm not talking about any off-field stuff because Marshawn really doesn't have any, but just all the other stuff. He's old. Is he hurt? Is he going to show up? Is he going to contribute? I don't know. The Raiders won 12 games. Do they need that going into 2017?
Right. I'm with you. You know who I love in this draft class that I would take with a third-round pick? Donnell Pumphrey.
Oh, because of the name?
No, out of San Diego State. For reasons that I shall not name on this podcast, I would stay up late on Saturdays and enjoy the final score of San Diego State games. And
why San Diego? Why was that your team?
I just loved him. I just fell in love with Pumphrey, and he would just run roughshod over those teams in the division. And so I think he's gonna be good. I don't think he'll be a great. I don't think he'll be like the next, you know, Marshall Faulk or anything, San Diego State guy. He broke his records there, but I think he'll be a big contributor for a team that gets a value in him.
Hey, let me ask you this, sort of changing gears, just because I wrote about it on Friday morning. Brandon Marshall, the linebacker for the Broncos, not the wide receiver for the Giants, tweeted last night. He's like the third person to do so, NFL player, recently anyway, that he can't believe that Colin Kaepernick has a job. Doesn't have a job, and he pointed out that all the other free agent signings at quarterback this offseason aren't as good as Kaepernick. So let me list you the names of these guys, and then tell me what you think about why Kaepernick has yet to get a job. So here are the guys that have signed this offseason, quarterbacks who now have new teams. Mike Glennon, your boy, Brian Hoyer, and Matt Barkley, both who have signed with San Francisco. They're the only two quarterbacks on that depth chart. Geno Smith, Josh McCown, Nick Foles, Chase Daniel, and Aaron Murray. How does your boy Colin Kaepernick going to have a job?
How come your boy Jay Cutler doesn't have a job?
I think he's going to retire. I think he's had enough.
But he's going to retire because he can't get a job. He didn't want to play for some. He didn't want to play for the Browns.
How about your boy Ryan Fitzpatrick not having a job?
Well, he stinks. Yeah. The Colin Kaepernick thing is easy to me. It's not a blackball situation. First of all, the NFL isn't smart enough to blackball. The NFL teams aren't collectively smart enough to blackball somebody. It's a situation where Colin Kaepernick wants an opportunity to play and to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Jay Cutler wants the same thing. There are four, as I see it, four jobs where you can start. Let's just run through these. There's Cleveland. We'll come back to this.
Yeah.
San Francisco. Think we can effectively rule out Colin Kaepernick for the 49ers, right? Fair?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan basically said the other day that you can't, if you have to fit your system around a dual threat quarterback, it's a huge pain because that means it affects every player. So he said,
he opted out.
And that.
Right. The Jets. I think we can rule out the Jets because you know what?
They got enough crappy Woody Johnson, quarterbacks.
No, because Woody Johnson is a super conservative. Like it's okay for Colin Kaepernick's political beliefs and social behavior to affect his job status. That happens frequently in this country, right? I mean, like, he has decided to be a social activist, and it's public, and Woody Johnson, I'm not saying you have to agree with Woody Johnson or disagree with Woody Johnson or agree with Colin Kaepernick or disagree with Colin Kaepernick, but Woody Johnson is not going to sign, he's not going to sign off on signing Colin Kaepernick. I just think that's
a
very obvious fact.
Well, it depends. I mean, the Joe Mixon conversation sort of that snowballs into this. If you're very good at your job, you can say whatever you want to say.
Right. Now, look, if Colin Kaepernick were Aaron Rodgers, he would have a job.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah.
No. I'm not saying that the activism stuff is not affecting it. I think it is affecting it, but I think there's a limited. It's not like 32 teams won't touch him because of that. There's
right. You know, if Kaepernick were as good as Aaron Rodgers, he could make fun of Woody Johnson every day at practice before and after, wear a silly hat to practice to
he
the
could
games.
He could wear a Big Johnson shirt.
That's right. He could deface Johnson products and he would not get fired. But the fact that
he could publicly refuse to wash his hair with Johnson & Johnson shampoo because they're killing seals, and he would still get.
We don't know if that's true, but
I'm not saying that at all. I like Johnson & Johnson. They do great baby, great baby.
So your point is that Kaepernick's out of work because he's not very good and he wants a starting job.
Well, but the same thing comes down to like these quarterbacks in the draft. They might fall out of the top 10 because. There's a small group of teams that need a quarterback right now, and I think those teams, with the exception of the Browns, look, the Browns are not worried about Colin Kaepernick because they're worried about Mitchell Trubisky or worried about getting a quarterback in this draft, you know.
And what's the difference? Like honestly, what's the difference between RG3 and Kaepernick in terms of on-field production?
Right, they tried this. I mean, they tried it.
I mean, maybe Kaepernick's better, and he probably is, but how much better?
Right,
half a win a year.
Yeah. Come on, he ain't coming in and saving Cleveland. Cleveland needs a rookie. They need a young quarterback to groom. I think the Jets are in a similar fashion. You know, they signed Josh McCown as a bridge. I mean, like that's
so we've given up on Christian Hackenberg already. Are we all agreed?
God, yeah.
He's been there 11 months. Yeah, Hasn't taken one snap.
It's crazy. Like, and they're not getting that much heat for it somehow. Rex Ryan had drafted. If Rex Ryan had drafted Christian Hackenberg in the second round, he'd taken one snap last year, people would be melting down.
I don't understand. I mean, literally from the moment his name was called, Jets fans were beside themselves. And I know that's sort of – they're always beside themselves at the draft. But with legitimate reason this time. And it's nothing in terms of – the Jets have done nothing to change that opinion. And now, as you point out, we're just like, eh, what are you going to do?
he was a worse pick than Roberto Aguayo.
Absolutely. At least he played and he contributed. He scored a point.
Yeah, at least he was missing field goals instead of passes. The quarterback market is weird right now, and it's more wide open for teams that have quarterbacks. There are more teams that currently have more teams need quarterbacks that already have quarterbacks than teams that don't have quarterbacks. If that makes sense, like the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Steelers, the Giants, the Saints. Who am I missing? There's somebody else in there. Those teams that's six teams that viably need to draft a quarterback and think about the future, and they can do so now because they don't know what the window is for their current quarterback. Whereas you have trash teams that don't need quarterbacks. I mean the Browns, the 49ers, and the Jets. I mean that's it. There's not a big and the Bills maybe, but I mean there's just not a big market. Like it's a weird quarterback market right now, and that's how Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job, and that's why these guys could fall to the top 10.
Yeah, no, I mean that's as convincing a case as you've ever made for anything. So I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Got it.
Yeah, and I even get to make fun of Woody Johnson. Cool. Just kidding. I love you, Woody. You're great. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? We good?
No, I think we're good.
We're good. I got to get packed for Easter vacation.
All right, well, have fun. Drive carefully. Don't forget your Ray-Bans.
Hey, you're making fun of me, but you're not, because I do have Ray-Bans. I'll pick up some Maui gyms on the way down there. Maybe we'll be back next week. Maybe we'll talk more draft, right?
All right.
Cool. Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and check out blueapron.com/roughing to get 3 free meals. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.